I am going to... I am going to be preaching on half-baked Christians. I can tell that you have heard that phrase, that somebody's half-baked. These are some lessons from the book of Hosea, or I should say that are prompted by the book of Hosea. Now, I'm not claiming to have a full grasp of Hosea, and I'm surely not in any sense of the imagination an expert on Hosea. The home life of Hosea forms the basis for a look at this book that bears his name. Hosea was a contemporary of Amos in Israel, and he's a contemporary of Isaiah and Micah, who were prophets in Judah. And Hosea's ministry continued after the first captivity, which is referred to as the Assyrian captivity, that had to do with the northern kingdom of the 10 northern tribes. Now, if this were Pastor, he'd be telling you all of that from memory and his knowledge. I'm telling it to you from the study Bible that I have in front of me that I'm reading that out of. But nevertheless, this is who Hosea was. Wow. Let me read to you from Hosea chapter 1. Because we have a situation in Hosea, some of you, having read it before, will know what I'm talking about. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he, Hosea, went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibleim, which conceived and bare him a son. God used the events in the life of this prophet to teach about and emphasize the relationship between God and his people Israel, who were committing spiritual adultery. And he illustrated that by having one of his prophets marry a whore. Now, for those of us who live after New Old Testament times, when God worked in ways different than what he works today, those of us who have the benefit of centuries of hindsight and the studies of so many gifted Bible teachers who live after the time of the transition from Old Testament to New Testament, and what we read in the New Testament where nothing of this sort was ever instructed. I don't know about you, but even knowing what I just stated, even having studied in Hosea, I understand mentally what God's doing, but I can't wrap my mind around it when God's saying, go marry a whore. Do we not always teach a godly person should be equally yoked and find another godly person? Yes, indeed we do, and that is God's will. But God had a purpose in this instruction. Now, like I said, I'm not going to expound the whole book of Hosea, But what I'm going to do is take some lessons from it, from the contrast. As a matter of fact, when you read the book of Hosea, and you contrast the references of Hosea to Ephraim, one of the northern tribes that he writes about, there are those Bible teachers who believe that Hosea himself was very possibly from the tribe of Ephraim. Well, one of the things that caused Ephraim to fail God and to go away from God, that is the northern tribe of Ephraim, one of the things that caused them to fail God and to go away from God, we find in Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7, verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and for the thief cometh in, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Oh boy, you see the problem there is in their hearts, in the inner man. Now their own doings have beset them about. Now they're reaping what they've sowed. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart like an oven whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. He's describing a woeful condition of the people of Ephraim. But here it is, verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Ephraim was half-baked. Now in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, we are given the instruction at the end of this chapter. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now perfect, we know there, does not mean sinless, does not mean without flaw. It uses the term perfect in the sense of what is complete. What is fully developed. Something that's perfect is complete. Okay? You would not describe something that is not fully developed. That would be incomplete. Okay? But here we have be perfect, mature, fulfilling purpose. I want you young men to note this. I have a perfect body. I'm just giving you a chance to comprehend that. I have two eyes, two hands, two feet, 10 toes, 10 fingers. Not enough on top of the scalp. And not enough under the scalp. When I say I'm perfect, some people are missing a hand or an eye. There are men and women that have been in our recent wars, and they've come home without a foot or a leg. There are some people, not because of anything that they've done, but their brain is not fully developed. It's deficient of one sort or another. But you see, God tells us to be fully developed, to be complete. God wants us to be complete Christians, developed Christians, balanced Christians. God does not want prayer at the expense of Bible study. He does not want Bible study at the expense of witnessing. He wants us to be separated, but not at the expense of serving God. He wants us to be loving Himself, but not at the expense of failing to hate sin. He wants us to be balanced in our lives, because something that is perfect, that is complete and mature, is balanced. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. When we get there and I read it, you'll recognize immediately where I'm going. Because there are, and I'm going to be looking at one tonight and then in weeks that come at some others. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. There are some common problems. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Common problem with half-baked Christians. If you think of a piece of meat, let's make it steak, T-bone, porterhouse. Oh, what about a nice, juicy filet mignon? Huh? Yeah. Zeal would burn it on one side. And it may, by knowledge, be raw on the other side. You see, some people get one and lose the other. Paul said that his people, the Jews, they had a zeal, but without knowledge. I read a story of a young preacher who was a guest speaker in a church. And after the service, an older preacher went up to him and talked with him. And the older preacher said to the young man, he said, "I admire your zeal. When I was young, I also had to choose between zeal and knowledge." When he was done talking, the young man said, "You can have your dagger back now, but it's rather bloody." You see, what the old man was saying is, you have zeal, but you don't have any knowledge. And the young man, of course, needed to learn that. But the old guy wasn't very gracious in doing it. He sacrificed one thing in order to accomplish another. He himself, who was accusing the young man of not being balanced, was in himself not balanced. God wants balance in our living. Excessive zeal, but lacking knowledge. Some Christians are so enthused, you've heard this said, I'm sure, they'll charge hell with a squirt gun. In seminary, we had a couple fellow students of mine, and they wanted to quit school. And when we were, you know, between classes and talking about it, they said, "Look, the fact of the matter is, Jesus could come back very soon. And he says, we need to be out there winning people to the Lord. We can't be wasting our time in school." Well, here I stand, and unless I missed the rapture, they needed the knowledge. They had the zeal. But you see, they'd have been half-baked. They'd have only had one part of what's needed for life. We need to be on fire for the Lord. But there's a difference between fact on fire and a fool on fire. And the other side of the problem, knowledge. Doctrinal dynamite. People with great minds. Intellectuals. But we face this in a lot of churches in the United States of America. They are dying because of doctrinal deadness. We need balance. We need zeal and we need knowledge. We need to be balanced. We need to apply our knowledge to daily living. We need to know how to live for Christ in every situation. We need to know how to conduct ourselves at an afternoon tea, as well as fishing on a river in a nice boat. You see, we need to be able to have balance in our life. My wife was reminding me when we came out here years ago. Our son is now 55 years old. But back when he was turning 13, I had decided we were going to teach our kids when they turn into be a teen. We were going to take them out to a really nice restaurant and help them to learn how to exist in a nice restaurant. Now, some of you older folks may remember when the Castle Restaurant existed. And we went there on, what night? Friday night was the buffet. And boy, he was nervous. He had never been to such a fancy place before. McDonald's was, you know, that foreign restaurant. That was about as nice as he got to. And when we were going down West State Street and we passed where the then Red Barn stood. Now again, that restaurant used to exist like a burger joint it was. We passed there and he begged us to stop. He said, let's go here. This will be good enough. And we went on down to the Castle. He was so nervous, he ate only one plate of shrimp. Now this was a boy who could put away a whole pizza on his own, okay, and have room left. And so, but you see, you need to know how to conduct yourself in a fancy setting like that, as well as in a burger joint. You need to be able to be balanced. We don't need a bunch of half-baked religious fruitcakes. I like this. As a matter of fact, I saw this a little sign. It's actually like a bumper sticker. I never put it on the bumper, but I hung it in my office. God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. Yes, you see? Some Christians study the Bible 3 to 4 hours a day. Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that's quite commendable. But when they don't witness for 3 or 4 minutes in a day, something's out of balance. I mean, a gospel tract, you can take 3 minutes by giving a tract to someone and asking them to read it and talk slowly, you can stretch into 3 minutes. And, you know, and so again, balance, zeal, and knowledge. I heard about a church which was without a pastor. They had gone for a whole year without a pastor. And the lady in the church prayed one night for an evangelistic type preacher. Then the next week when they had prayer meeting, she prayed for a Bible teacher type pastor. And she'd go back and forth from one week to the next for an evangelistic type and a Bible teaching type. And she'd change it up. It was a real dilemma for the lady to know what she should be praying for. And the new pastor came. And she wrote him a letter about her prayer experience and what she was looking for. And so he replied with a letter. And at the bottom of his letter, and he said, and to think you got both of them in one man. Yeah, balance. He would have both of them there. She got so mad, she left. Because she only wanted one or the other, even though she couldn't decide which one. Yeah. You see, there are some common problems that we experience in life, and we need to have balance between zeal and knowledge. It's not a matter of, well, if I have to choose one. We don't have to choose one. God will give us both. Father in heaven, help us to learn so that our lives can be more effective for Jesus Christ.